It's Dr. Norm Holy for WFHB, and today I'm interviewing Scott Gedeman, who's the Public Affairs Officer for Yosemite National Park. And we're doing a series here on national parks, and Yosemite actually has been in existence over 126 years, so quite the long stint indeed. And then, of course, the national park system as a whole celebrated their 100th anniversary in August of 2016. So one of the topics that I'm pursuing in all of the parks is there an effect of climate change on your park system?
Okay, yeah, here in Yosemite, one of the things with climate change, it's certainly affecting the entire world, but here in the national parks, it's affecting every park differently. And probably the most visible and significant effect that we've had has been the effect of the long-term drought on our trees. Some folks may have heard about a big tree die-off in the Sierra Nevada and the western United States, and here in Yosemite, we don't have an exact count, but literally thousands of trees, mostly the ponderosa pines, are being affected by the drought, which is certainly connected to climate change. And what's happening is there's a small insect called the bark beetle. The bark beetle is a naturally occurring insect in the trees, and with a healthy tree, a tree can generate sap and generate chemicals to fight the bark beetle. But with the ongoing drought, we're in our fifth year of drought here in California, the trees certainly don't have the moisture to be able to fight the bark beetle, so the bark beetles are infesting the trees and literally killing the trees. And so both here in Yosemite National Park and throughout the Sierra Nevada, we're just seeing huge hillsides that were beautiful green trees and now are brown trees, and they're dying off. And so it's certainly a direct impact to the drought and climate change.
Now, do you keep records of rainfall or precipitation for Yosemite or the surrounding areas separate from, you know, California?
We do, and what we do here in Yosemite is we measure measure the rainfall. Of course, there's a lot of different ways to measure it, but with us, we have two rivers. In fact, they're both the nationally designated wild and scenic rivers, the Merced River and the Tuolumne River, and we measure the snowpack. The snowpack, of course, melts, flows through the rivers, and then both of the rivers, the Tuolumne River, ends up in the Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, which provides the drinking water for the city and county of San Francisco, and the Merced River ends up providing irrigation for agriculture. And so last year, the season that ended from 2015 into 2016, we were doing pretty well. We had about 80% in the Tuolumne drainage, about 90% in the Merced drainage. So we had a good year, but going back the past 4 or 5 years, we've had significant decreases in the amount of snowpack. We've gotten upwards of the 50-60 range. And so with this prolonged deficiency in the snowpack and the lack of rain, of course, that has contributed to not just the drying out and the climate change effects, but also the killing of the trees that I mentioned a bit earlier.
Now, does the snowpack melt completely in the summer?
What happens is the snowpack does melt completely, and it feeds our waterfalls. In fact, a lot of the famous falls, Yosemite Falls, Bridal Veil Fall, Ribbon Fall, Horsetail Fall, all of these falls are fed by the snowpack. And so, for example, on a day like today, which we're receiving rain, which is wonderful, we'll never not like rain, but these are very warm storms, and so with the snow level up at the 6,000 up to the 7,000 foot mark, where it's not leaving a lot of snow. And so what we like to see, of course, is these cold storms come through, significant snowpack, and then building up the snowpack throughout the winter months into the spring, and then once we get into the spring melt, that will both feed the waterfall falls and flow through the rivers and eventually end up, as I mentioned, down in the Central Valley. And so it's one of those things where we're certainly happy to get the rain, but it's really the snowpack that we're concerned about. So the rain is great, and the waterfalls that are normally dry in the fall, if visitors come to Yosemite the last few weeks, the waterfalls are going. So it's certainly a little bit of a anomaly to see waterfalls flowing in late fall, early winter, and so it's wonderful for the visitors. But at the same time, it's something that we'd rather take a break from the waterfalls and see the snowpack being built up in the higher elevation.
Yes. Now, is the snowpack essentially gone earlier than it, say, was 50 years ago?
Yes, and that's what's happening is that with the winters being diminished and less of a snowpack and the warmer temperatures, that's combining to basically have the snowpack be gone and the waterfalls are drying up earlier than they would. For example, the Merced River drainage, the Merced River starts up at Merced Lake up in the high country here in Yosemite National Park. There's enough snow to keep Vernal Fall and Nevada Fall flowing year-round. That's the only waterfall, significant waterfalls that go year-round here, although they get very small in the late summer into the fall. But the other waterfalls, some of them that I mentioned, like Yosemite Falls, Bridal Veil Fall, Ribbon Fall, what we're seeing is that with the diminished snowpack combined with the high temperatures, that those waterfalls are going drier earlier. And this is something that's had a cumulative effect for the past 4 or 5 years. In fact, 2011, 5 years ago, going on 6 years ago now, is the first winter that we've, that was the last winter that we've had a quote-unquote normal year. And so it's very interesting. So, for example, in the lower elevations of the park, a lot of trees that would normally lose their leaves have not lost their leaves yet because we've had some rain this fall. And so it's interesting because in my time here, I've been a park ranger here in Yosemite for over 20 years now, things just, the quote-unquote normal pattern, it just isn't happening.
What other effects are you concerned about going forward in the park? What are your issues as you see them for the park?
Well, with us here in Yosemite, like all national parks, our goal is to manage the park and manage a healthy ecosystem. And so we've seen some adaptations of some of the animals. Some of the small mammals, for example, we're seeing are going up to the higher elevations. And so we're certainly monitoring that. But one of the nice things about so much of the wildlife population is that they are resilient and they are able to adapt to these changes. So far, we've seen some changes in terms of, as I mentioned, some of like the pikas, for example, that live up in the high country. We're seeing them in higher elevations due to warmer temperatures. And so we're seeing a little bit of effects of them. But for the most part, the wildlife, the deer, the mule deer, for example, or the black bear or things like that, don't seem to be affected. And so we're certainly looking at these things, but like so much of the effects of climate change right now, there's not a lot that we can do proactively to really mitigate things. But we're certainly monitoring both the effects on the flora and fauna of Yosemite National Park.
Terrific. I've been speaking with Scott Gedeman. He's the Public Affairs Officer for Yosemite National Park. I really appreciate your update on what's happening at the park.